More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Forever Faithful. We'll help you overcome the challenges that threaten your spiritual life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Forever Faithful. We're helping you overcome the challenges that threaten your spiritual life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. And share what's stopping you from feeling as close to God or connected to your faith as you'd like to be. Are you having a hard time making some area of your faith and life or relationships fit together? Maybe you're struggling with doubts or the sense that God is distant these days. For that matter, maybe you've been hurt by other Christians or experiencing some struggle that's making you question your relationship with God or the church. Or for that matter, maybe you care about somebody who is having one of these struggles and you're not sure how to help them. We're dealing with all of those different kinds of spiritual struggles today on More to Life.
This is something that I think is a very important thing for us to talk about as we enter in very shortly here to Holy Week. Palm Sunday is this Sunday, guys. And a lot of people would think, oh, this is not the time to have this discussion because this week is all about the suffering and passion of Christ. So how dare we even say that we have any struggles when he struggled so much? And they kind of put that all on the back burner and they show up for Holy Week or they show up for Easter Mass thinking, I'll deal with that another time. I think this is the time to deal with that and to deal with those things we're going to be questioning and doubting and wrestling with, or that somebody, as you said, that we care about, that we may end up in discussions with at the Easter dinner table because they show up. But not just not to celebrate Easter, really, just because it's a family gathering or a gathering of friends. And they're going to be asking these questions. They're going to be struggling. And I think one of the things that's really important to remember is that it's okay to have doubts. And it's okay to struggle. As long as we do that wrestling with God. As long as we bring that to God. You know, I've been doing a lot of reading over this Lent, and this phrase of struggling with God keeps coming up. And the vision that I get is not so much, you know, the Old Testament Jacob wrestling with God, and the image I get when I think of struggling and wrestling with God is the image of me as a mom raising my kids when they were 1, 2, 3, 4 years old. And when they would get tired, or when they would get frustrated, or when they got sick and needed medicine, and they'd kind of lose it, and they'd, you know, I'd be trying to hold them and comfort them, and they were still wrestling in my arms. They were still struggling and beating their little fists and fussing and, you know, and sometimes feeling so strong I couldn't believe they were in little bodies. I really think that's how we wrestle with God. He's not wrestling with us. He's not this person who is coming against us as an opponent. He's there to love us through it, to hold us, to comfort us. And he's going to keep pursuing that until we can finally give up and rest and hold our heads upon his chest. But it's us who are wrestling in the arms of this loving, comforting God who wants the best for us, just as we want the best for our children when they're losing it when they're young. So if you're doubting, if you're struggling, if you want to beat your fists on God's chest, or you know somebody who's walking away from it all or angry with it all, and you're saying, what do we do with all this? How do I handle this? Where is God in all of this? How do I respond to this? I'm hurting. I'm frustrated. Help. We're here for that today.
You know, and of course, it doesn't even have to be that big a thing. It could just be, you know, you're struggling with discerning a question and trying to figure out what God's will for you is. You're not sure how faith applies in this particular situation in your life or relationships. Whatever it is, whatever that spiritual struggle that you are facing might be, we are here to help at 877-573-7825, big or small, whether it has to do with you or someone you care about. If you're wrestling with spiritual struggles today, we want to help you create greater connection between you and God and feel more at home in your faith. 877-573-7825.
And of course, that includes if you're wrestling with somebody else about your faith. You are being attacked on your faith. They are telling you you are crazy. They are undermining you or trying to in some way. They're making living out your faith in your home difficult. And you're saying, I have faith. I'm good. But boy, are they making it tough to hold on to this or to share it with the rest of my family or to enjoy it in their presence or whatever. We're here for that as well. How do you deal with those people who want to wrestle with you about the faith that you hold so dear? And how do you do that in a way that serves God? You know, it's not okay enough to just say, hey, I'll believe my way. You just leave me alone.
Well, yeah.
Because we know that if somebody hadn't in some way, if God hadn't gotten through to us, we'd be in their place. So we feel it's important to do this in a way that shares in a way that may plant some seeds for God and bring them a little closer to God. So if you're struggling with that person today who's struggling with you about your faith, we're here for that. If it has something to do with you, God, and faith, and you want to talk about it today, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
You know, you made that point about people saying, well, you do your thing and I'll do mine in terms of spirituality. You know, we all, I think, in the culture especially, have a tendency to separate faith and life. For many people, hopefully not for most of our listeners, but, you know, even there, you know, faith can be more of a security blanket than anything else. It's sort of a private habit that we engage in to make ourselves feel better. At least that's, again, how the culture wants us to view our faith. But the theology of the body reminds us that faith, to be real, has to be central not just to our everyday life, but also to everything that we are. You know, to the way we live, to the way we structure our relationships, even to the way we view and relate to our bodies and relate to others through our bodies. You know, Christianity, because it involved the Word becoming flesh, is an incarnate faith that demands an embodied response. Right? Christ doesn't just love us for our minds. He wants all of us. And he gave us his whole self. That's what we're celebrating this coming Holy Week. We're looking at how Christ gave his entire self to us, including his body on the cross to us. And he wants us to give all of ourselves back to him. Not just our minds, not just our feelings, but everything. Our lives, our relationships. Christianity demands that embodied response that requires us to put our faith at the center of everything we do and everything that we are. And so we can't have the luxury of just falling into the whole, well, you know, that faith thing, that's your deal. You can do that over there. And somehow it's not supposed to affect the people that we're in relationship with or the choices that we make. We can't do that. It's just not part of what it is to be Christian. That said, it's also not easy to make that happen.
We
often run into what psychologists of religion refer to as problems of fit. In other words,
problems of fit.
Yeah,
that's an interesting term.
I'm having a hard time fitting my faith to my everyday life because this person gets mad at me when I talk about religion, or that person gets mad at me when I try to apply my faith over here, or this situation, you know, doesn't necessarily match with my beliefs, but I don't know how to square them. You know, that we have this problem integrating our faith and our life. And that's a universal problem. but it's not one that any of us can escape, or any of us can just sort of say, well, I don't have to deal with that. Because if we are serious about living our faith, we've got to be serious about letting it affect everything about us, everything we are, down to the way we view and relate to others through our bodies. So let's talk it out. Let's whatever those challenges are that you're facing in your relationship with God, your relationship with your faith, or your attempts to live your faith in your everyday life, we are here for you at 877-573-7825. If you or someone you love are having faith struggles, let's talk it out together. Again, the number 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for revealing yourself to us in such powerful ways. As we enter into this Palm Sunday and Holy Week, we reflect on how you gave all of yourself to us, and that you invite us to give all of ourselves back to you. You hold nothing back, and you ask us to return everything to you as well. And we want to. But Lord, sometimes it's hard to know how to make that happen. And sometimes in the struggle, we feel like you're distant, or we feel like we've wandered too far away, or we're just not sure how it all goes together. So we bring all those concerns to you. We bring all those struggles to you. And we ask you to help us live our faith in ways that make a real impact on our life, on our relationships, and that glorify you in everything that we do, so that your grace can shine out through us and call the world to you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Forever Faithful, we're helping you overcome those challenges and struggles that threaten your spiritual life, or the spiritual lives of those you love. If you are feeling a little distant from God these days, not sure what maybe God wants you to do, how your faith applies in this particular situation or that, dealing with relationship complications related to faith, or any other issue that touches on faith and life, let's talk through it together at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jacqueline, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana.
Hi there, Jacqueline. Welcome to More to Life.
Hello.
Hi. What can we do for you today?
This one's especially. I've been struggling with physical and psychological illness that has left me in a lot of pain that is very misunderstood by others, to the point where I have trouble being able to get out and go to Mass or know quite how to practice my faith. I understand that faith is not all about feeling very high and close to God, but I've just been struggling to wonder and wondering how to keep pursuing my faith, to keep it growing, even when it feels like God's distant, or just like he said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Sure.
We all feel distant sometimes.
Sometimes we do, yeah.
We do. Jacqueline, I'm so sorry you're going through this, first of all. That is very depleting and very difficult. And please know we're immediately putting you on our More to Life prayer list, because we feel the pain you're going through in this moment.
Jacqueline, can you tell us a little bit more about what your struggle is exactly? What is the physical and emotional illness that you're dealing with?
I struggle with a physical illness called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome type 3, which causes hypermobility of joints, but it affects all the connective tissue in my body.
Okay.
Everything stretches and is painful.
I understand. Yeah.
And then couple that with a psychological illness that turns emotions straight to pain. And so I experience paralysis and seizures that can't be treated.
Okay.
And I really just have to live a low-stress life, which is pretty much impossible.
Not easy to do on this planet. Yeah,
Jacqueline, I'm sorry that you're having to wrestle with all of that. So tell me, what? How do you relate to God now? What spiritual practices do you have?
I do try to keep some prayer time set aside each day. As much as I can, I get out to Mass, at least on Sundays. or if I can't go that week because of seizures, I'm able to watch Mass on TV from home.
Okay, good for you.
But it's just been very difficult.
How do you make God part of your day?
How to. What?
I said, how do you make God part of your day and part of your struggles? Are you able to kind of stay in touch with him for the day?
First you wake up and you say thank you for waking up. Even though it's very painful every time I wake up, I really, really wake up to the pain. But you thank God for every day, for every moment of a little relief from the pain.
Yeah. Are you honest with God about the frustration that you feel when you're dealing with these struggles, or sometimes the anger even that you feel, either with yourself or life or even him? Are you able to be honest with him about that?
I have a lot of anger about it. Sometimes it feels like, how can a good God allow this to be so bad?
And have you said that to him?
It gets worse every day.
Have you said that to him? Have you said directly to Jesus?
Okay. I wrestled with it. Mm-hmm. I even got to the point where it didn't feel like I could believe in a God. Mm-hmm. But I do have that desire deep down that I don't want to give up faith in God. And
that's God. You know what?
There's the grace.
The thing is, the one thing, you know, when we feel like God is distant, all right, one of the things that we can always take comfort in is the very fact that we want to reach out to God is God in us. Because reaching out to God is the least natural thing a human being can do. There's no part of us that we can't see God. We can't feel.
There's no part of our physicality normally, you know, able to do that. Aside from the fact that we have Christ in us, without that, it just wouldn't happen.
The very fact that we want to pray or are willing to pray when we don't want to at all is God in us. That is a sign that he is close to us and present to us and calling us to him. So I want you to dwell on that in particular, Jacqueline. And I want to thank you for being so honest with God about the struggles that you're facing, because that's something that a lot of people struggle with. The idea that they're afraid to be angry with God, or they're afraid to tell God about their anger or their feelings. But, you know, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends, right? And when you're frustrated with a friend, even if you know that they didn't maybe really mean to hurt you, or that they didn't really hurt you, this is just a misunderstanding, or, you know, you're honest with that. You go to that friend and you say, I'm really upset about this. I'm angry about this. I know you didn't mean anything by it, or maybe I misunderstood it, but, and then you unload, you know, because a friendship has to be rooted in that kind of honesty. Otherwise, you can't feel close to that person. And the same thing is true with God. You know, he wants that kind of relationship with us. He's a big enough God that he can take whatever we need to dish out. And Jacqueline, when you're wrestling with the physical pain, the emotional pain that you deal with every day, and you can be honest with God about that, that's how you keep him central to your life. That's how you keep him close to you. You let him know whatever your experience is. Sure, I mean, and it's good that you're thanking him for the good things that happen, the relief that you do have from time to time. But if you can be honest with him, too, about that struggle, like you were sharing, that's exactly what God is asking for us, from any of us. He just wants us to be honest about whatever our experience is and ask him how we can respond to that experience in a way that can glorify him and help us become who he created us to be in the situation we find ourselves. You're dealing with an awful lot. And as Lisa said, our hearts go out to you, and we're adding you to our Mortal Life prayer list. But I just want to thank you for your courage, for your spiritual fortitude in facing all of this in such a faithful way. And I just want to encourage you to continue to be honest with God wherever you're at from moment to moment, and invite him to be part of that experience so that he's walking with you and you can feel him walking with you through all of that, praising him for the good things that happen, expressing your frustration with the bad things that are going on, and asking for his help at all times to be who he wants you to be in the face of it.
And remember to feed yourself spiritually as much as you possibly can. So I'm glad that when you can't get out because of the seizures, you're watching the Mass on EWTN, or you're able to listen to it here. But keep Catholic radio on in your home so you're being fed. Listen to good books on Audible, Lives of the Saints, things like that, that are going to really feed you and just be in your mind and in your soul, so that God can find inroads to fight back against all the stuff that Satan's putting in your head as you deal with these very, very difficult issues.
You're absolutely right, Leah. So the good news is we have more means available to us than ever to avail ourselves of those spiritual resources that can sustain us.
Yeah, and when you're listening to those things and trying to take them in, just pray, come Holy Spirit, so that you can take some of that in. It can be louder in some places in your life than the pain that you're going through. Oh, Jacqueline, we love you so much. God does love you, and I really just, we will be praying so hard that you have ease of this, that you're able to surrender to what God's doing, and that he will deliver you from anything within his will to deliver you from in this.
Amen. We got to take a break. When we come back, we are talking with you about those faith struggles that you or your loved ones are having. What's stopping you from feeling as close to God or connected to your faith as you'd like? Or what challenges are you facing as you try to apply your faith to your everyday life? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. When More to Life continues, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club. He's going to be sharing some ways that we can all stay a little closer to God, even in the face of struggles. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Will you pray to end abortion? Attend prayer vigils nationwide on Saturday, April 13th. We will gather at the very places where the unborn die. Let us publicly stand for life on April 13th. Your prayers are needed. Your presence is needed. For times and locations, and to sign up as a leader, visit protestpp.com. That's protestpp.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking today about faith struggles, the challenges we all face from time to time in applying our faith to our everyday life. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club, mom of 11, is here to share how she holds on to her faith in the midst of the many struggles that she faces on her own and in family life. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, Greg. Hey, Lisa.
So glad to have you with us. Rachel, you and your family have gone through a lot over the years, and you wanted to share with us a little survival kit that you've kept in your back pocket to get through times like this.
Well, I think it's important for all of us to have them. The headlines, our life struggles, things that we are going through can make us feel that God is so far away from us, when at those times, he wants to be closer than ever. He really does want to hold our hand as we walk through the fire. So I think of this as my survival kit. What can I rely on to remind me of God's love and pull me through those dark days? And I have a couple things. The most important thing Matt and I have is we keep a box of miracles. Now, that's not Miracle Max from Princess Bride, but it's past reminders of times when we were down and that we got through it. And in there, we have letters we've gotten. We have scriptures. I write down the actual story of, for example, how we got one of our vans, one of our 15-passenger vans, and how weird and wild and funny that story was. That gets me through those times when it seems like it's been months since I've heard the Lord's voice. The other thing I have is that I have my box of scriptures. What are those scriptures that I can read, and the moment I read them, I'm reminded of God's love? Psalm 121, Psalm 91, and then my favorite is honestly the book of Job, where I can see God reminding Job himself, you know, I am here, my ways are higher than yours, you might not understand it, but it's part of a greater plan. So find the scriptures that you love that can lift your spirits. The other thing is music. I have a couple songs. Matt Maher has been playing in my head for a few weeks now. What music can you rely on that can always bring you to a better place? And then lastly, what friend can you call, whether it's your spouse, hopefully, or maybe a friend on a phone or through an email to say, I'm struggling. Can I just complain to you? Not a friend who's going to try to solve your problem for you, but someone who can just kind of hold your hand, listen to what you're going through, almost like the angel with Christ in Gethsemane. Let them just minister to you so that you can come out the other side, take a deep breath, and continue on the path God's put you on.
Those are such important things to keep in mind. There are times where we just have to unpack that toolkit and apply those things because we don't really have enough strength at that moment to just do it on our own. But if we can look back, and we can look back at our own history, salvation history, and the reliance of people who are there for us, it really can carry us through those moments. Thank you for sharing that with us today, Rachel.
God bless you.
God bless
you. And if folks would like to learn more about your work, where can they turn, Rachel?
Go over to BeholdPublications.com for everything you need for Little Flowers and Blue Nights and our other great programs.
BeholdPublications.com to learn more about Little Flowers Girls Club and Blue Nights as well. We'll come back taking more of your calls about spiritual struggles when Mortal Life continues after the break. Stick around.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Traveling for spring break? You don't have to miss your favorite Ave Maria program. Bookmark AveMariaRadio.net or download the Ave Maria Radio app on your smart device. You can listen to more than a dozen live or recorded Ave Maria radio shows wherever and whenever you want. On the road, in the line at the amusement park, at the beach, or in the evening after a productive day. Stay connected. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Ephesians 5:21 challenges husbands and wives to defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. In this scripture passage, St. Paul reminds us that while husbands and wives both have roles to play, Christ is the head of the house. You see, couples who recognize Christ as the head of their house are already cultivating mutual respect. Respect isn't just general politeness, it's much, much more. It's about making your default attitude toward your spouse one of fondness and admiration. Happy couples know that they each need to learn from the other's positive influence, call their spouse to holiness, and see the inevitable flaws in the other spouse's opportunities to grow in virtue. Cultivate fondness and admiration for your spouse instead of focusing on his or her flaws, and you will grow into a marriage that is truly exceptional. For more Catholic marriage guidance, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're looking at faith struggles on our show titled Forever Faithful. We're helping you overcome those challenges that threaten your spiritual life or the spiritual life of those you love. If you're not feeling as connected to God or your faith as you'd like, or you care about somebody who's having a hard time in their faith, let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kentucky.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. I'm originally from Nicaragua, and I only have a brother. He's 4 years older. He's 38.
Okay.
He's very successful in his career. And about a year ago, in Nicaragua, the citizens of Nicaragua, we have been brutally repressed by the current government. And, many deaths and bad stuff have been happening lately. And it's still happening. So my brother, when this started happening, my brother, for me, he has been my role model. And he has a kind heart. He's a good father. He has a four-year-old. It's the first granddaughter for my parents. And her name is Luciana de Lourdes. And she's a beautiful girl. And he's a good father. He's a hard worker.
And where does your brother live? Is he here in the States or is he still in Nicaragua? And where are your parents?
No. He's in Nicaragua, with my parents. I just got married 5 months ago.
Okay, so your whole family is living in Nicaragua in the midst of all of this.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I actually came to the U.S. in the midst of all of this trouble.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but I've heard voice messages that he sends to my sister-in-law. And then they're all Catholic. You know, we were raised Catholic. We got our first communion, everything. I was very devoted Catholics. And recently I've heard him saying, you know, where in the world is God in all of this? And he has been saying to my sister-in-law, she's praying the rosary. He's like, you need to stop praying that stupid prayer, you know, like that doesn't work. Don't you see what's happening? He's losing his faith. We recently talked to him, and since I knew this was happening, you know, I started praying with my husband for him, and we got the chance to talk to him on video chat one day, and he just started crying and saying, you know, I don't know, but I'm losing my faith. I don't believe, you know, like, you know, God is good, like, and this is what I've been told, but I don't see that happening right now. And like, and I, you know, he's in a position in his work where he has to fire people because of the economical situation.
Golly.
And so he's like, these families, you know, they have problems, they have stuff, and now I have to fire this person.
Yeah, and he knows he's dooming them to even more problems having to do that, so it's just horrible for him.
Maria, I'm so sorry this is unimaginable.
It's unimaginable for what we're going on here. We do have some neighbors, and our son has some very close friends in Nicaragua, so we've been kind of keeping tabs on people that way, and it is horrific. Our listeners, unless they know people there or have lived there, can't really imagine what the folks there are going through during this time.
And you're speaking to a perpetual problem, the mystery of evil, right? And there are no good answers for why evil exists and all. But what I would say to you is that you don't need to address that question specifically. You need to do two things. First, you need to empathize with your brother and and be sensitive to the pain that he's going through, and let him know that you love him, and that you're so sorry for the suffering that he's enduring, and that you are there for him. I would like you, when you express that empathy, to then, with your next breath, say, and I don't know what to say to you, but I know that God does. Let's pray about it together. And then say, Lord, my brother is really struggling to find
right
you.
Yeah, pray right there on the phone or video chat or whatever you've
don't,
got.
Don't ask his permission. Just make
it.
God part of the conversation. You know, God, my brother doesn't know how to find you in all of this. He's struggling to find to see you, to see your Holy Spirit, to see your goodness. There's so much pain. There's so much hurt. Help him to know where you are and to know what you want him to do in the face of it. And that's the most important thing you can do. Empathize with where he's at and then immediately bring him to God. As soon as we try to swoop in and make sense out of another person's suffering for them or defend God, I'm going to come to God's rescue here, then we end up messing it up. Because inevitably anything we say comes off as shallow or trite or ridiculous. We don't mean to. We're trying really hard to do a good thing. But ultimately, God has to answer for himself in each of our own hearts. Okay, and the best thing we can do is to lead a person who is in pain to God and empower them to bring their hurt to God so that he can minister to their hearts directly. And when we do that, and when we give people permission to bring their pain to God, amazing things really can happen.
But it opens that crack for the Holy Spirit. And I want to, you know, remind you, Mary Beth, that this is what Our Lady did. You know, she had to watch the pain and the suffering and destruction of the body of her son, the Son of God, who, you know, could have just leapt off that cross. And she saw that pain and she stood there and she just had to stand and be present. That's the support she could give him, is to stand and be present and pray. And that, we think, is a passive thing. It is not. That presence, Maria, that presence of prayer, that saying, I'm standing with you, I'm loving you, I'm praying for you, talk to me, I'll be here to listen to your wounds, I'll be here to do what I can do. That is a huge, huge ministry. And there are times that is... We think it's the least we can do. It is the most, because with so much noise and so much awful, that presence of prayer and steadfastness is huge in being able to get through to somebody spiritual life, to be able to open that conduit of grace so that God can move. You can't walk in and change the government of Nicaragua or change the mob mentality that happens there in these certain circumstances. But you can be present and present in prayer to him and let him know that that's what you're doing so that he can see the light shining through.
But don't
you
just pray for him, right? Pray
right,
in that
with
moment.
Him,
with
in that him. Moment.
And bring help him bring his pain to God so that God can respond to that directly. As I said, don't try to defend God to him. Don't try to make explanations for the problem of evil. Those things will inevitably fail. Empathize with the suffering that he's going through and then help him bring that suffering directly to God.
And also remember to pray your rosary for him and continue that prayer.
And in terms of bringing that pain to God, even the anger. So when he's saying,
yes.
when he's saying things like, though, don't pray that stupid rosary, have him say, God, you know, sometimes my brother feels like when you're with him, sometimes my brother feels like it's stupid to pray. It's ridiculous to pray. Help him to see your presence. Do you see what I'm saying? Be honest about all that. All right. Maria, thank you so much for the call. And of course, we'll be adding your family to our More to Life prayer list. There is one other thing I want to say to Maria and anybody else who's suffering and saying, you know, where is God in the midst of all this evil? Well, he's not in the midst of the evil. Evil is the absence of God.
Yeah.
By definition, evil is the absence of
God.
That's
why we feel like he's not there.
Because he's not. He's not in that evil. Where is he? Where is he then? He's in you, in the response you make to the evil. Very often we can't find God because we're looking for him in the wrong place. We keep saying, where is God in this pain? Where is God in this evil? Where is God in this? He's not there because evil is the absence of God.
Because those who are choosing evil, okay, he didn't impart the evil and run away. He's not like, you know, some ring the doorbell and run away kid. He's, he, he's been forced out of that situation by people who have chosen against him.
But he is in your heart in the response you make to that evil.
And in choosing.
And the more you ask God to help you glorify him in the face of that evil and respond to that evil in a way that makes Satan sorry that he ever picked on you in the first place, the more you bring God into that situation, and the more you will see him actively working to bring good out of that situation. But that's an important thing to keep in mind. You were never going to find God in the evil out there, because evil is
the
absence
of God. Or the evil
that's
coming at us, yeah.
We find God in our hearts, in the response we make to the evil, if we respond to that evil in a way that is intentionally trying to glorify him in whatever we do.
Whether it's continuing to pray or reaching out to those who are hurting. I mean, we can really look to St. Teresa of Calcutta on this. You know, she dealt with all of this evil around her. People being neglected, people starving, people hurting, people in the gutter. And she did one thing that she considered small every day. She would reach out to that person. She would smile. She would tend their wounds. She would give them a place to die where they knew that they were being cared for. She couldn't swoop in and change the entire caste system of India and say, this is wrong. Let us all, you know, bring Catholicism and the dignity of the human person overnight and snap her fingers and make it all work. But her response was one prayer, one person at a time. And even when she was feeling despairing in the sight of all that evil, she continued to pursue Christ.
We have to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about wrestling with spiritual struggles. Are you having a hard time feeling close to God, knowing his will, feeling connected to your faith for whatever reason? Are you having a hard time seeing how your faith fits in your life or relationships, or can be applied to this or that challenge you're experiencing? Or for that matter, is someone you love wrestling with their faith and you're not sure what to do for them or how to be there with them? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
This Easter, from 20th Century Fox and Franklin Entertainment comes Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz, based on a true story. When Joy Smith's son John falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But a mother's belief in the power of prayer inspires her community to trust God to do the impossible.
My God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
Breakthrough, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. In theaters Wednesday, April 17th. Tickets and showtimes available at BreakthroughMovie.com.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
This program is underwritten by
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. Now playing Rated R.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back, and thank you for being with us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today we are looking at spiritual struggles. Are you having a hard time feeling close to God, knowing His will, understanding how your faith applies in this challenging relationship or life circumstance, or for that matter, is someone you love wrestling with their faith. Let's talk it out together and find some ways to reconnect with God, to get clarity about His will, and to feel at home in your faith. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Larry, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
On St. Gabriel Radio. Hey, Larry, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Well, got an ongoing family situation here, faith and family and friction, if you will.
Yep.
We are the parents of two married sons and a married daughter with five grandchildren. Our oldest son has said that he is not Catholic, mom is, and he said he will have nothing to, or his father, I, will have nothing to do with his family. Makes it tough, really tough on holidays, obviously, too, and just...
Okay, Larry, let's back that up a minute, because that's all big, sweeping thing. So he's choosing not to be Catholic, and
yes,
you're Catholic, but there's to just say, and I'm going to have, you're not allowed to have anything to do with my kids or my family.
That's bigger than
just, you know, hey, Dad, we don't share the same faith anymore. So what's that about that he's been like, nope, get away from my kids?
Not just kids, but his wife or his family, too, as he's, without going into a lot of details, has been going on for a few years, more prominently, but obviously, now he is 38 or 36. So, you know, he's got two boys. He's obviously discerning his fatherhood.
But what's going on but there's a breakdown in the relationship overall between you and him. What's that breakdown about?
And that's been identifying, the offense. At one time, we had a real heated conversation, just him and I, and, of course, he mentioned the absent father. So, obviously, I worked too many jobs to, take care of mortgages and tuitions. Mm-hmm. He and I had a conversation, too. We had a good three-hour lunch, if you will, and I came to with burying my soul and everything, and me being the father that I was and wasn't and should have been, and did apologize and seek forgiveness, these are some of the big ones.
Yeah.
Some of the other events that came on, too, we entered into a business relationship with him on the insurance side, too, and mixing that and some other things that have happened. I don't know how much time you got.
No, I get you. I mean, and you're right. We don't have a ton of time. But all right, so
yeah,
there's a lot of history here.
I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
So what kind of contact do you have with him now?
Have been attempting to text him, of course, at the Christmas gathering, he did come over to our daughters reluctantly. And, of course, I wished him, a Merry Christmas, but he said he wouldn't. He told my wife for 40 years that he wouldn't get back into that situation again. That's probably was our last contact in the same house, same room. Of course, last Father's Day, our young sons, he's been praying and he brought us together.
When you say you text him, does he text you back?
No.
Okay.
And I've even called, we were up that way, my wife and I, going through where his office is, and I texted, hey, we're coming through, where's your office? Or what else have I said? I told him how proud I was of him and being a father and his family, because he's not responding to calls or text. Although he has sent me two of his church's pastors' messages. One was on the Only I Can Imagine movie, and another was another message he had on The Struggles Are Real. He is in a church over there with his wife and children, or sons, I think. I don't know how well they're attending.
And what's the relationship with your daughter-in-law?
She and I have on a golf outing they had last year, she came in with the boys, and she said, what can we do to get you guys together? And we've been communicating by text, too.
God bless her.
Daughter-in-law's parents live here in town with us. So.
Okay, so you have some inroads.
And has she ever asked her husband, your son, what can we do to get you guys together? Do we need to get into family counseling? Do we need to send you two away for a weekend to hash it out? Has she ever asked him that? Has he ever given anybody any kind of answer on what he would need?
She hasn't divulged any of that because I think he's keeping her at a distance or trying to.
Okay.
Okay.
I have met with pastors, his pastor. I've called their church. I've even, of course, I meet with my pastor, and not only in the box reconciliation, but we talk. I've also even our son's up with Father John Ricardo. I've called Father John and his past parish, so we can meet away from the, the social and the psychological aspects and all the emotions of it to get into the spiritual sides of it.
Yeah, you've got a lot of good resources in place here.
Well, all right.
I'm trying.
You are, and I think you're doing a lot of good things. You know, I mean, you're doing, you've humbled yourself, you've apologized. I mean, you're reaching out for mediators. I think you're doing everything that you practically could do. That you're going to have to kind of take the long view on this, though, and I'm going to say practice patience, but I don't mean
sit around
and wait for it. Patience is an active virtue. It's patience is the virtue, if you will. If you're, I like to imagine, let's say this big machine isn't working, okay, for some reason, this big complicated machine, and patience is the virtue that allows you, once you've turned a knob, it makes you step back and say, now what did that do? and gives you information on what knob you need to turn next, or what switch you need to flip next, or what thing you need to repair next. It's that virtue that allows you to step back and analyze the effect that your actions have had so far. It's not just sort of throwing up your hands and saying, well, it'll work out in time. And you're not doing that, but I'm just clarifying for other listeners that when I say you're going to have to practice patience, I mean that kind of active, intentional, prayerful reflection on, okay, what effect has the effort I've made had so far, and what would be the next step? I'd like you to keep reaching out to him, not in a no-pressure sort of a way, with the texts, just letting him know that you're thinking about him and praying for him, maybe sending notes on a regular basis that I was just thinking about you and I wanted to share this with you, those kinds of very light things. Since you're both prayerful men, I'd actually ask you to invite him to pray with you.
Yeah, and I was sitting here praying about this and thinking the same thing, and even possibly getting in touch with his pastor again and asking his pastor if maybe he can intervene and the two of you can meet with the pastor and pray for healing and forgiveness and reconciliation and setting up some boundaries, that maybe that pastor would be able to lead you both in prayer, because if your son is truly a godly man and he's trying to follow Jesus, he needs to be able to work with you to at least figure out how you can have a relationship that he feels safe in.
And I'd like
get
you to,
those parameters.
Sorry,
there.
I didn't mean to.
Not at all.
I think that even in your texting relationship, in addition to getting that mediator, texting prayers about your relationship. Lord, I don't know how to heal this relationship with my son, but I know that we both love you. And I'm asking for your grace for my son and for me, that we would be able to come together in you. Text a prayer like that, right? That he would be willing, hopefully, to pray with you, even via text. Since you both are faithful men in your own way, being able to go to God and ask him to help sort this out one step at a time, I think could be a really important way to begin to build some rapport between the two of you. I'd also like you to step back and ask yourself, what efforts have produced the best results? Now, I realize nothing's produced any result, really, that you want. But there are some things that work a little better. For example, your contacts with his wife. It sounds like they've been more productive.
Or your son who's praying, who's managing to be a bit of a go-between between the two of you, got him there for that one holiday.
Focus. Try to take stock of those things that are bearing more fruit, or some fruit, and do more of that. The reason that might sound obvious, but when we're caught up in something like this, it's easy to feel like nothing I do works, right? Or I have to try everything. And then we lose focus on the stuff that actually is producing some result. Focus on the things that are producing some result and do more of that, right? So in addition to taking stock of what's already working, I'd like you to integrate that piece of prayer into the texts and the notes that you're sending so that you're able to invite him to go to God with you to sort this out, because this is clearly something that's bigger than the two of you, and only God, who loves you both and knows you best, will be able to ultimately lead you to that rapport that you're seeking. Thanks so much for the call, Larry. God bless you. You're really doing a lot of good things here. And I just want to encourage you in your efforts as you move forward to try to heal this rift between you and your son. That's all the time we've got for today's program. I want to thank you for being with us and sharing your stories, allowing us to walk with you in this part of your journey. If there's more that we can do to support you in any way, come on over to our place at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can check out the resources we've mentioned on the program today and many other resources to help you live a more joyful and abundant life, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor via the telephone or video teleconference to be able to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com and get out there and celebrate the life that God has for you.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.